everybody, and welcome to the Animation Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things animation brought to you by Filmbook. My name is Matt Brunet, but some of you may know me as Animat from my YouTube channel, Electric Dragon 505, home of web series that are all about animation, including Animation Look Back and Animat's Reviews. If this is your first time here in the Animation Podcast, well, let me tell you about what this podcast is all about. Well, it is a podcast, and it's about animation. I don't know where the fits in, but it's in the title. Like, you gotta have a title with the on it. But anyways, specifically, this podcast is about the latest news that happened in the animation world this week. So, on today's episode, we are going to start things off with an all-new stop-motion animated feature called Bubbles, which is going to be about Michael Jackson's pet chimpanzee from the executive producer of Anomalisa. Then afterwards, we are going to look at the first teaser trailer of the Lego Batman movie. Then afterwards, we will be taking a look at the behind the scenes at a new featurette of the latest movie, The Jungle Book. Then afterwards, we will be talking about the big comeback of an anime series called Furikuri. And then finally, we will end things off with Matt's Pick of the Week. If you want to check out more episodes of the Animation Podcast, then head on down to Filmbook, that is film-book.com, by searching the Animation Podcast. You can also email us at podcast@filmbook.com with the Animation Podcast in the subject line. Now, our first story, it might seem a little bit weird, but I remember this, I remember when they first mentioned this before, like when I was doing the other film book series that I'm doing, Movie News Weekly, I recall that this was actually mentioned on the blacklist of scripts that would be turned into a movie. And this is one of the most popular ones. But I was honestly really surprised that it's going to be picked up and done like this. So apparently, Dan Harmon, the executive producer of Anomalisa, decided that he took one of these scripts from the blacklist and decided to make a stop-motion animated feature out of it, very similar to what he did with Anomalisa. And the movie is going to be called Bubbles. So what is Bubbles, you may ask? Well, apparently, Bubbles is going to be a biography of sorts about Michael Jackson's pet chimpanzee, Bubbles. In fact, using my source here at Deadline.com, they described a little bit of what pretty much the life of Bubbles is about. So, it says, Bubbles tells the story of Michael Jackson's life and history from the perspective of the pet chimp, which got a close-up view after being adopted by Jackson from an Austin, Texas research facility and given residence at the Neverland Ranch in 1983. He became Jackson's constant companion until he became overaggressive and was moved to a monkey sanctuary in Florida. Now, and I'm going to be very honest here, I think, like, this is the kind of idea, it really sounds weird at first. Like, a stop-motion animated film about Michael Jackson's monkey. But then when you bring in the aspect that this is going to be from the same guy who took charge of Anomalisa, well, as the executive producer, not the director, the more you think about it, the more it seems that it really makes sense. And I can honestly really see how this can go. Because I'm going to be honest, with Anomalisa, like, the biggest aspect of it is that it's all in the point of view of the main character, which I'm just trying to get it right now. The main I somehow forgot the name of the main character. Yeah, Michael Stone. So yeah, basically this movie is all about the perspective of Michael and how he sees the world in general, where like everybody looks the same, they all talk the same, they all look the same, everybody's the same except for Lisa. Somehow she stood out above everyone else. So using this movie, I think this is going to be very, very interesting, where we're going to see the life of Michael Jackson through the perspective of Bubbles. But the one thing I will tell you, I can assure you that this is going to be a movie that I know this may seem sweet and innocent, but it's going to be deep and it's going to be dark, because if they are going to be looking into, like, the biography of Michael Jackson, I can assure you there will be times when Michael Jackson will need comfort after some of the dark moments that he has to face with his life, rather it be, you know, the consequences of being a superstar where like the paparazzi is all around him like mosquitoes, or maybe they can even touch upon some of the more controversial aspects like when he was accused of being a child molester. So I could definitely see that there could be some dark undertones and looking into how Michael Jackson's life isn't necessarily the greatest. But, you know, it's going to be very interesting. And, you know, with Anomalisa, Dan Harmon really did such a phenomenal work with the film. I can imagine he could do something great with Bubbles as well. Now, I know that a lot of people may think that, oh, with Anomalisa, like, nobody really knows about it, so it might not be that much of a big name. But maybe with Bubbles, it might get some intrigue onto people. Maybe the aspect that this is a movie about Michael Jackson might appeal to some. Like, not only do you get the fans of Anomalisa and you got the animation fans going for this, but also, this could be highly interested. Like, you're immediately going to get the Michael Jackson fans out there, considering that you're pretty much looking into a part of the history of Michael Jackson. And it even says here on Deadline as well that it is noted that the script has been considered a very inventive way to tell an unauthorized story of Jackson without needing permission. And it is true. Like, when you do think about it, it's not necessarily a biography of Michael Jackson, but it's more the biography of Bubbles. You have to put in Michael Jackson somewhere, considering that, well, he is Michael Jackson's pet chimpanzee. So yeah, definitely. I'm honestly pretty excited to see what Dan Harmon has in store with Bubbles. Maybe it's going to be great. Maybe it could be all right, but hopefully it will get a good amount of attention. We'll just have to wait and see with how Bubbles will go. Now, our next story is actually pretty coincidental that it's pretty much released. Now, during this week, the week that I'm recording, that is, we just got Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice. And so far, it is the biggest movie that is in theaters right now, like the biggest one since Zootopia. And although the reactions are rather mixed, like a lot of people are freaking out over the reviews and what Rotten Tomatoes or Metacritic has to say about it, but there is a bit of a light at the end of the tunnel, at least for Batman. And that is that this week, we actually got the teaser trailer for the Lego Batman movie. Now, the thing with the Lego Batman movie is that this is going to be a spin-off of the Lego movie, considering that the version that we have here is not going to be like the other ones. They're not going to go with, a new version of Batman or close to what Batman the Animated Series is, or like do the Adam West Batman. No. This is pretty much the same Batman that you got in the Lego movie. In fact, this is actually going to be voiced by Will Arnett. Now, of course, they did mention that there's going to be a lot of other there's going to be a lot of other Batman characters. Of course, we got Alfred, we got Joker, we got Batgirl, we got Commissioner Gordon, we got Robin. But the one thing I will say that's actually pretty interesting, there's a small moment in the teaser trailer is that we actually got to see Batman running with all the other Justice League characters like Superman, Wonder Woman, The Flash, and all those characters. It's actually pretty interesting. But with the new teaser trailer that we got of the Lego Batman movie, we didn't really get a lot, but we do have a bit of a tone of how it's going to be. And the one thing I will say is that, you know, it's pretty good. It's nothing too extravagant, but it definitely is cute. We just see Batman going on, like, about his normal life, where he just came back from Gotham, saving the city and all that kind of stuff. And, like, now he's just relaxing at home with one of his favorite foods, where he's gonna just go and eat. And even at the end, like, we all know the cute line at the end of this teaser is what is this? Fudge. Not great. Well, it's official. I'm an idiot. I just forgot what that line is. It's like, it's something like, I deserve this. This is what I deserve. I deserve this. Something like that. Okay, maybe I'm not that much of an idiot. Okay. Well, I got the idea. But basically, the whole tone is going to be cute. And from what I've seen in the teaser trailer alone, it could be highly possible that it's going to share the same brand of humor as the Lego movie did. I can absolutely guarantee that Lego fans are absolutely going to eat this up as much as they did with the Lego movie. But is this movie going to be like extravagant? I can imagine that people are going to overhype this and they might think that this is going to be a really, really big thing. But honestly, I'm not expecting much. You know, it's like the Lego movie itself. I'm not expecting like the greatest animated feature out there. I'm not going to listen to fanboys just overhyping this film for no reason. You know, I think this is going to be legit good. Like, this is going to be enjoyable. Like, I'm sure I'm going to get some laughs. I did get laughs on the teaser trailer, but I'm not going to expect something too big. So I'm not putting my expectations really high, but I'm sure it's going to be all right. And I know for a fact that there are going to be a lot of people excited for this. Just the fact that, like, this is going to be a bit of a step up after what they saw with Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice. Or, I don't know, depending on also how things are going to be with Suicide Squad, I don't know. But, you know, I'm going to be honest, the Lego Batman movie looks enjoyable, you know? I'm going to put my hopes, like, not too high, but I'm going to be expecting some good things with the Lego Batman movie. And we are going to wait and see with how the Lego Batman movie will go on February 10th, 2017. Okay, now for our next story, I'm going to be very honest with you guys. Now, technically, when I mentioned The Jungle Book at the beginning of this podcast, I can imagine that there are so many people looking at me funny like, wait, you're talking about The Jungle Book? What the fridge, Matt? This is not really animation. Why are you suddenly going into The Jungle Book? Is it because, like, most of it is animated and stuff, considering all the animals, and there's only one live-action actor? Well, technically until the end. Well, let me explain some things. There are two reasons why I want to dive into The Jungle Book. Number one, there really isn't much news stories regarding animation. There's nothing really too big that seems to gather a lot of interest. So that's number one. And number two, technically, The Jungle Book does have to do with animation in a way, considering that this is actually based on the original 1967 animated feature. Well, not original. I mean, this is based on Disney's animated The Jungle Book. So this is pretty much an adaptation in the same sense of how Maleficent is based on the 1959 Sleeping Beauty. So technically, it does have a connection with animation. Thus, I can go and talk about The Jungle Book. Besides, this is my show. I'm allowed to do what I want with it. Anyways, okay, so the thing is with The Jungle Book is that Disney has released a brand new clip and also a brand new featurette of The Jungle Book. And I gotta say, it does look pretty interesting. Now, the thing is, with the original Jungle Book, I will say that I really do like it. And, you know, it's always enjoyable. I always have a good time with The Jungle Book, especially, like, it actually holds one of my favorite soundtracks from a Disney movie, like, where all the songs are really enjoyable and stuff. But, like, I would, it's really, really good, but I don't know if I would put it, like, as, like, the top 10 best Disney movies out there. But with this movie, it actually does look pretty interesting in a way. With the clip that we got is a new clip featuring the intro of Shere Khan, where he comes in, and this time he is played by Idris Elba. And honestly, he does capture the threatening tone of Scar. And in here, he actually does a good explanation about why he doesn't want Mowgli. And we see that he even has this nasty scar on his face to why he does not want Mowgli there. Like, he wants him out of the jungle, period. And, you got the threatening tone. And, you know, this looks like it could be a pretty interesting adaptation. Like, I'm not expecting, from what I saw in the clip, I'm not expecting too much that it's going to be based on the Rudyard Kipling book, because if they're sticking more closer to that, then they're going to add a lot more new characters, and plus the fact that they have to make it an anthology series, because that's the funny thing about the Jungle Book is that it's an anthology. It's not just about Mowgli and Shere Khan and Baloo and stuff like that. And plus the fact that with the movie, you also got you got King Louie in there, which he's not from the original book. He's actually from the Disney film. And but yeah, so far from what I'm seeing, like the special effects, they do look pretty good. Like from the clip that I saw, the animals actually look pretty nice. Maybe the way they move is not necessarily as impressive because you can still tell that they're kind of computer generated. But just through the look alone, they got a pretty, you know. They look pretty interesting, and even with Shere Khan, he does look like an aged tiger, and like with the scar on his face, it adds, you know, it adds like a new level. That looks pretty cool. But also, we got the featurette, and that is actually pretty fascinating. They do talk a bit regarding the director, Jon Favreau, how he's personally attached to this, and how he's in love with the original 1967 animated feature, and how he wants to do justice to that more so than the book. I've heard in plenty of interviews and stuff like that where he's actually more interested in the book. I mean, he's more interested in the animated feature, but I think it's either the writer or the producer is more interested in the book more so than the movie. So like his goal was pretty much to make a match made in heaven, like something that would respect both the animated film and also the book. But then you also see in the side of the actors, like Scarlett Johansson, Bill Murray, Idris Elba, and all the others. And it's actually pretty fascinating how, you know, they seem pretty interested into getting like they want to get into the movie. And what, like, some of the clips that they showed in there is actually, it's actually pretty good. Like, we do see a highlight in the performance, especially with Bill Murray. I can already tell that Bill Murray is going to be a really enjoyable Baloo. Like, that casting right there is just really, really good. That is perfect. So yeah, honestly, I'm going to be pretty excited for The Jungle Book. I do have some pretty good hopes with it. I can guarantee, there's a very high chance that this is going to be way better than what we got with Alice in Wonderland or Maleficent. But maybe this could be in the levels of, Cinderella, where maybe it's not the best. Maybe it's not going to replace the original animated feature. Well, it's never going to really, I don't think that this Jungle Book will ever replace the animated version, but you know, it's going to be on par. I think Jon Favreau is going to do good to it, and we shall wait and see with what the Jungle Book will have to offer with us on April 15. Now for our next story is going to be the comeback of an anime classic per se. Now apparently this is far beloved, and even I have heard it before, and it has gotten like a massive fan base, but apparently it's going to make a great big comeback thanks to the help of the people at Adult Swim and Toonami. And this is actually regarding Furikuri, which is actually spelled FLCL. Don't ask why, I have no idea. It's Japan, just roll with it. Okay, so apparently Adult Swim has demanded a sequel to an anime called Furikuri. And, well, it's not going to be a lot. It's going to be just 6 episodes. And it's actually going to be done by Production IG. Now, the crew that they have there is actually pretty interesting. Now, it says here on my source at Cartoon Brew that Production IG will be producing 2 brand new seasons, which will consist of 6 episodes of Furikuri, which is going to be under the supervision of the creator of the series, Kazuya Tsurumaki, and it will be directed by Katsuyuki Motohiro, with character designs by Yoshiyuki Sadamoto, and it will be written by Hideto Iwai. Now, apparently, for those of you who are not really familiar with what Furikuri is about, it says here that, okay. It says here that the original Furikuri tells the story of a 12-year-old Naota Nandaba, whose life has been turned upside down after he gets run over by a strange Vespa-riding girl, Haruko Haruhara. The new series picks up many years later, after the end of the original series, according to Adult Swim's press release. Now, it says, from Adult Swim, that meanwhile, the war between the two entities known as Medical Mechanica and Fraternity rages across the galaxy. Even Hidomi, a young teenage girl who believes there is nothing amazing to expect from her average life, until one day when a new teacher named Haruko arrives at her school. Soon enough, Medical Mechanica is attacking her town, and Hidomi discovers a secret within her that could save everybody. A secret that only Haruko can unlock. But why did Haruko return to Earth? What happened to her Rickenbacker 4001 she left with Naota? And where did the human-type robot Kanti go? So apparently this is going to answer a lot of questions, and I can imagine for many Furikuri fans, this is going to be really exciting. And the fact that this is coming from Production IG, I have a lot of high hopes from it. I know for a fact that Production IG can do some amazing things. They really can. I believe this is the place where, yeah, they pretty much made the Ghost in the Shell movie series. Those are absolutely phenomenal. And they even did the animation sequence for Kill Bill. So this is pretty much some of the highest quality of animation you can ever find in Japan. Like, I would put Production IG, like, right up there next to Studio Ghibli, even. So this is going to be pretty interesting. So for those of you who are pretty excited to see Furikuri make a big comeback, you'll just have to wait and see in late 2017 and or early 2018 on the Toonami block on Adult Swim. And finally, we will end things off here with Matt's pick of the week. Now, for this one, I decided to go with something that is a very, very big news for anybody who is an artist, an aspiring animator, an animator, or anybody like in that field, because this is something that they should seriously look upon and probably get even. And this is regarding the Toons software. Now, what is it that's so big about Toons software? Well, believe it or not, they actually made it free and open source for anybody to go and use. But why is it such a big deal? Why are people going crazy over Toons? Why should people even care about Toons? Well, the funny thing about Toons is that this is actually the software that many high-profile animators and animation studios would use for many big-name films. And some of these would actually include Futurama. There's also Balto that has been used. There is also Don Bluth's Anastasia, who uses Toons. But the biggest thing that Toons has been used for is that this is the software in which Studio Ghibli uses. This is the software that brought us The Tale of Princess Kaguya, Howl's Moving Castle, Ponyo, The Wind Rises, and so much more. This is pretty much the big thing about this. So anybody who wants to use animation, this is pretty much the software that they can use. And the best thing is that they don't have to pay anything for it. So they can have this high-profile animation software, and they could use it on their own to make their own, to make their own tunes, you know, to make their own pieces of animation. And I feel like this is such a huge thing for aspiring animators and stuff like that. This is huge for any artist. I believe they should go out there and they should download it, because from what I've seen on social media of many artists online, especially like the ones that actually do animation for the internet, people like Harry Partridge, Aaron Hansen, Ross O'Donovan, Rebecca Parham, who else can I think of? Anyways, you get the idea. All the internet animators, like what I've seen, they always use Adobe Animate. Well, it used to be called Adobe Flash, but now it's called Adobe Animate. And the thing is that the software is pretty much so fidgety. Like they always have problems. It's not pretty much the safest software to use, considering that it would often crash and it would often like be broken. Like they can't always save their files. Like often they'll work hours upon hours on something and then suddenly it will crash and burn. But with Toon software now, like this is pretty much this new thing. This could be a brand new alternative for their animated works. This could definitely help them and could probably solve a lot of problems to the problems that they have with Adobe software. So now they can move on to something like this. And I've heard that there are many people, they want to go and find an alternative, and sometimes they want to go and get, people want to go and get Toon Boom softwares or anything of that sort. But I understand that it can be expensive, and for an artist, money can often be a serious issue. So for using Toon software, now it's free and anybody can use it. And the fact that this is the same software that is used by Studio Ghibli, it's definitely a reassurance knowing that if there's anybody who wants to be an animator, now they can get this and they know for a fact that they have something that if it's given to the right hands, they can make something beautiful. They can make something as amazing as a Studio Ghibli film. And honestly, I think like for this episode of the Animation Podcast, I think this is something you should take from this, is that now that like Toon software is free and anybody can go and use it, just always remember that you could potentially be the one who can make something as extravagant as a Studio Ghibli film with the tools that they have used in order to make their films. So definitely all the artists, all the animators, all the people who want to do something big, go out there, go get the Toon software and make something beautiful out of it. And that is all that I've got for this week. So thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Animation Podcast. You can find more of my work at film-book.com. Just search for Mathieu Brunet or the Animation Podcast. You can also find me on Twitter at Animat505. And if you have listened to this podcast on iTunes or any other podcast service, then go out there and just rate and review this episode. And if you are listening to this podcast on YouTube, then hit that like button and leave us a little comment on your thoughts this week. Tune in next week for the latest episode of the Animation Podcast and all things animation. Thank you guys so much for listening. And until next time, see you later, dudes.